Thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, it's Tuesday morning. Sit back and relax and let me tell you one of the stories that I first published in 2009. Long time ago, this is one of the earliest ones. It's the story of Oregon's 100-year, $2.5 million party, the Centennial Bash, in 1959. It was a huge event. The state had been gearing up for 3 years, and it took place in an Oregon that was almost unrecognizable. A different place. It was a much less self-conscious place in 1959, and that was kind of a good thing and a bad thing compared to today. It's another one of those cases where you remember the good old days and you kind of think, you know, maybe it's just as well that they're gone. Well, this story was first published on February 11th, 2009, under the headline, Oregon's 100-Year, $2.6 Million Party. Here we go. This coming Saturday, the state of Oregon will celebrate its sesquicentennial. Remember, this was published in 2009, so it's not this Saturday that's coming up now that I'm talking about here. It will have been precisely 150 years since Oregon officially became a state in a hasty effort to settle the question of whether slaves would be allowed here on the eve of the Civil War. But surprisingly little is being planned to commemorate it. In fact, many people around the state don't even know it's happening this week on Valentine's Day. 50 years ago, though, on the eve of the state's centennial, it was not like that. Not at all. The upcoming centennial was impossible to ignore. Folks had been gearing up for it for years. On the big day, President Dwight Eisenhower made a proclamation. Vice President Richard Nixon appeared with Oregon Governor Mark Hatfield at the state capitol, which was dusted with surprise late-season snow, and had a 19-gun salute fired in his honor with 105-millimeter howitzers. The ceremonies were opened by the Oregon Symphony. Members of the National Guard stood at attention. It was a very big deal. But that's not why almost everyone in the state knew what February 14th, 1959 meant. At a grand centennial ball in Salem, the movers and shakers of the state gathered for a Tony party, replete with a cake shaped like the state capitol building, with pictures of a bridge and power lines and log truck in the frosting. They danced and they looked fabulous, but that wasn't why most Oregonians knew it wasn't just another Valentine's Day. Youngsters at North Salem High School put on a pageant that would be unthinkable for a public school today, called Christianity Comes to the Oregon Territory, featuring students playing the roles of John McLaughlin, a pioneer preacher, and various settlers in, quote, Flathead Indians. It was played 5 times. But that's not why either. The real reason the centennial was such a big deal was the money. The 1955 legislature got started on the plans early and allocated $2.6 million for it. Now you can throw one humdinger of a party with $2.5 million 1959 dollars and 3.5 years in which to spend it, and boy, Oregon did. A centennial commission sprang up, with members appointed by the governor. Local centennial committees formed at the town and county level, about 38 of them statewide. People got very excited about it. And part of that excitement was centennial tokens. A centennial token was about the size of a half dollar, usually bronze, but occasionally silver. You can still find them in junk stores and coin shops. Expect to pay $5 to $10 for one in decent condition. Most were made by Northwest Specialty Sales Company. A few were commemorative with no face value, but most of them were sponsored by a local area centennial committee and were worth 50 cents. But only if you spent or redeemed them before 3 p.m. on February 18, 1959. In the coin aficionado world, this is known as a so-called dollar. This year's sesquicentennial festivities will surely feel a bit light to anyone who saw the statewide party of 1959. Well, the state is quite a bit different now. Oregon was a relatively rich state in 1959. Stumpage fees for timber harvests were pouring into the state, so were income taxes from the loggers and millworkers processing them. A few extra million dollars was easier to come by back then. And then, too, 100 years is kind of a more interesting number than 150, so we'll probably have to wait another 50 years to see another state birthday party like that one. That's if we ever do. But we probably won't, because the state has changed so much since then. And that is it for today's episode. And if you're listening for the first time and would like some more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. You'll find the complete catalog of about 185 columns going back to 2008, plus links to audio and text feeds out on RSS and iTunes, and also links to the Facebook page and Twitter feed in case you'd like to join the conversation online. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story, which include a book by Harold Hibbler and the Salem Public Library's Digital Images Archive. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis? Drop me a line and let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. In coming attractions, the next episode will drop bright and early Wednesday morning, and it will be an article about the Pendleton Chinatowns that were discovered essentially at the bottom of a really deep pothole one day. A complete underground city in that town, replete with businesses and services and all sorts of transportation facilities. Look for that after about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. That would be Wednesday morning. In the meantime, go fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye-bye now.